From ransomware attacks to supply chain compromises, the CyberTalks podcast will delve into the world of the latest cyber threats and attacks impacting businesses globally. Join us as we speak to C-level executives and security practitioners about the cyber risks affecting their business and how they are addressing these challenges. CyberTalks is presented by Esentire, the authority in managed detection and response. To learn how Esentire can help your team build a more responsive security operation, visit esentire.com. I'm one of your hosts, John Moretti, and today we have a special guest. I am super psyched about this, you guys. This is going to be great. So today I have Mr. Rob McLeod with us, and he is in charge and runs our Truth team. So before we start talking to Rob, and Rob, again, thank you again for being here, my man. Let me again talk about what our Truth team does. And really, there's the few big differentiators for us at Esentire. So one is our platform. Our platform really sets the stage of how we are different from a lot of our competitors out there. The second thing is our Truth team, along with our SOC analyst, the third thing. So our Truth team, what these guys and gals are doing day in and day out for all of our customers, and Rob, I'm not going to steal your thunder, my man, but they proactively threat hunt day in and day out for all of our customers, no matter what component of our MDR service they have. For example, if a customer has one service, one of our MDR components, for example, endpoint, they still get the platform. They still get Rob and his team doing the proactive threat hunting day in and day out for everybody. So, Rob, thank you again for joining, my man. And really, I can't even give it enough justice of what you guys do and how you guys do it. So thank you for shedding some light on this subject, because without you guys, we don't have everything. We don't have anything for the what you guys do, along with the SOC and the true our platform. So thanks for joining today, my man.
Thanks very much for having us on today. I just love to get in front of everyone and really sing some of the virtues of the Truth team. What we have going on here is absolutely world leading in terms of the security program that we've developed, and this is actually leading to better security outcomes throughout the entire marketplace.
Hands down. I mean, if somebody said, "Hey, guess what? We're going to have a team of people that are going to proactively threat hunt for you and protect you day in and day out, no matter what you're doing on the internet or in your home," or who does that? I don't know of any organization doing that today, seriously. And you know what's funny is, and I tell customers and partners this is part of our service. There's no additional charge for this. These guys are doing this because they're making our platform better. I think our platform, the way I describe it, Rob, is our platform scales and grows and changes every day. And it's because of what you guys are doing, right? I always tell partners and customers, hey, these guys are watching threat actors, threat groups, discussion boards, social media, going through the dark web, watching cybersecurity as a whole. And then you're actually going back and reverse engineering what you're finding to protect our customers before anything happens to them. I mean, it's incredible. So first of all, let's dive a little bit into yourself, right? Learn a little bit about you. So how long have you been here at Esentire?
Sure. So I've been at Esentire for more than 10 years, actually. So I started actually in a technical role at Esentire, and then I moved into the world of security, data, and analytics. I took a leadership role in that area of the business. And now I'm leading up the security research and innovation business unit in order to deliver better security outcomes to our customers. And the way we do that is through four different pillars of security. Really, we have our threat intelligence team. These are the guys that are doing exactly what you were mentioning earlier. They're trawling through message boards, discussion groups, performing malware reverse engineering, really tracking threat actors and their campaigns, also their capabilities, so we understand how these threat actors are evolving. And then we're taking that information, and we're empowering our detection engineering team to really build out that security content and those capabilities to really power the platform and give the platform a life of its own there.
Honestly, Rob, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it doesn't sound fun, my friend. It doesn't sound like an easy task. Let's be honest. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's sometimes a bit of a thankless job in terms of finding attacks sometimes you're the bearer of bad news as you go through this as well. So sometimes it's a bit of a thankless job, but you know, what I really like is delivering those outcomes back to customers as well. So making sure that they understand exactly how they're being protected and they're allowed to move forward in sort of this competitive landscape that we find ourselves in all the time. So, you know, to round things out here a little bit, though, we also have some other capabilities, too, within the team. We have our advanced threat analytics team. So this team is really cool. They're doing also the data science and analytics capabilities. They're building like purpose-built machine learning models. So what we do here is we find a security use case that's really intractable and really difficult to detect and operationalize within the current realm of security. You know, so some of the ways that we can do this is, you know, correlation of multiple sets of data. So we can look at endpoint data, telemetry data. We can enrich some log data there as well, pull in some dark web monitoring and really enrich that service as well to really build out some purpose-built analytics. And then the last part of the team is to scale that out as well. We have a security engineering function of the team as well. So the team works on an ongoing basis to deliver these capabilities. Initially, we start out as, you know, building out prototypes, and then we have to really quickly, you know, scale these solutions up to deliver that value and those outcomes to our customers. We have the security engineering team really focused on delivering those capabilities for our customers.
You know, I mean, that must be, it must be stressful. I mean, think about it. I mean, for me, like what you're telling me is like, so you find something. How do you go back and say, let's break it all apart. Let's really see what's making it tick so we can stop it, right? I mean, reverse engineering some of that stuff is, it's not easy. Let me tell you, when I first started with EastEntire, I remember going up to the SOC and I sat with some of the Troop team members. And I have to tell you, at first, you know, he said his title, and he said he was like a scientist. I'm like, no way. I think he's just kidding me, right? I think they're joking me. And he's like, oh yeah, check this out. I created this little program to go through Twitter to find this one threat actor every time he was tweeting so we can follow him and watch what's going on. And I was like, oh my God. I actually thought, Rob, I have to tell you, when I started in security, you know, I've always kind of been doing security, but starting, you know, doing that stuff, I thought, man, I'm smart. I know what I'm doing. I sat with these guys. I said, I can't do what they do. There's no way I can do what they do. They are incredible. I've seen them pick a line of code out of, you know, and then open up a packet capture and look at the packet capture as well, or watch a process of something happening on an endpoint and say, oh, here's the threat. And I'm like, I don't even know what you guys are looking at. How do you find that?
John, it even goes beyond that as well. So not only do they look at, you know, say a single, you know, line of code or something, they can actually perform attribution as well. So not only do they take that line of code, identify that it's malicious, they can also tell you who wrote that code and perform that attribution back. They can tell you the, you know, the campaigns that could be attributed to as well. It's just phenomenal what the team is capable of achieving.
That is it is truly incredible and truly incredible. So let me ask you, is it, you know, if somebody wanted to join the Troop team, is there a process they have to go through? Are there certain, for example, maybe certifications they have to do? Is there, like, how does that work?
Yeah, so we're looking for, you know, security practitioners who are looking to really go beyond the surface and really understand exactly how these attackers and these campaigns really operate and tick. So what we're looking for is, you know, individuals who really, really want to understand, you know, things beyond that you know, the surface level. And they're really going down and always asking the next question of why and how. So that's exactly, you know, what we see on an ongoing basis. The other part we see is that curiosity. So, you know, the adversarial curiosity, like, what are these threat actors up to? What is their end game here? So those are some of the, you know, the skills that we look for on an ongoing basis. You know, the reality is also, we're looking for folks with some data science and some data analytics capabilities as well. So what we're finding is there's another area of this industry. So we know that the world of cybersecurity is difficult to find and hire and staff and retain talent for. But what we're finding is there's some adjacent research type industries or research type of areas that have the exact same skill sets, but it's a new application of these skills. So some of the ways that we've seen this is in the world of financial analytics and also even in the world of psychology and neuroscience. We're seeing some of these data analytics skills being very transferable back over to the security domain as well. And then in terms of, you know, building out, you know, the talent on the team, What we're investing in is primarily around identifying threat actor tactics, techniques, and procedures. So what we really want to do is understand the hearts and the minds of attackers here. And so, you know, we're investing heavily in some of those tooling and those capabilities to really go deep on modern sophisticated threats here.
Yeah, you know, I got asked that question, you know, what's the difference between a true team member and a SOC analyst, or what makes a SOC analyst? And you know, I thought about the question, and I remember talking about this to some of our partners and customers. Like, it takes a special individual. They have to have that passion. You know, it's like a gamer, an air traffic controller, you know, a special, you know, day trader. Those special passions, those special tools to really sit there and look and threat hunt and find that needle in the haystack. I use that all the time, but it's true. It's what you guys are doing. You guys are finding that small little needle in a mountain of different thousands of haystacks. It's almost impossible. But, you know, having that passion and having that ability and what you guys do is truly incredible. I mean, can you touch on some of the big, you know, this is what frustrates me sometimes, Rob, to be honest with you, is that I always try to tell your story, what you guys do, because we only hear about it when it's in the news, right? You know, oh, hey, we did this. It's great. It's one thing. But you guys are doing things like this every single day. We just don't hear it. So what's one of those big things? And I always get the name wrong. It's is it Venom Spider or Spider Venom? I always get that wrong, right? But can you just dive into that a little bit for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll go into Venom Spider in a second. And you're not the only one who sometimes transposes those. I've actually been on some calls with, you know, law enforcement and the FBI, and they've actually done that exact same transposition. So it's common. And I do want to say, we're going to be talking about Venom Spider. There's another, threat actor campaign that I'm, happy that we don't have to refer to, very much anymore. And that's Squirrel Waffle. Squirrel Waffle was one of the more difficult ones to refer to and keep a straight face as we were going through and telling the story. So, you know, the world of Venom Spider is a little bit more palatable for audience discussions. Yeah, so just quickly, the True Team, what we do, we monitor and track, you know, changes to that threat landscape and also the customer attack surface. We're doing also performing, you know, ongoing original threat intelligence research. This is where we're tracking attackers, victims, all of the attacker methods as well, their motivations and their capabilities. And then we also take this information, we contextualize that into changes within security trends, and we also build out security strategy as well to build our security content. From this, we produce security innovations and content mapped to detection frameworks like the MITRE ATT&CK framework. So this allows us to really hone in and understand attacker tactics, techniques, and procedures. And from there, we can identify areas to build novel security capabilities. So this is exactly where we focus a lot of our machine learning and data analytics initiatives today. We also build content for the product roadmap. So when we have new product offerings to be onboarded into the platform, the True Team takes care of that. We also do security program efficacy as well, so making sure that our SOC team has the best information available at their fingertips as they're performing monitor and investigation actions as part of the ongoing security program. And also we perform that threat hunting activity. So we do two areas of threat hunting. We do what we call proactive threat hunting. So this is looking for exact threat actor tactics, techniques, and procedures. So when we learn about a new technique that an attacker may be utilizing, we're figuring out what this would look like within a specific data set. And then we're actually performing those hunting actions through our customer data. We also do reactive threat hunting. So this is when we find out a particular artifact, like an IP address, is actually malicious. So for a period of time, some of our organizations may be interacting with a particular artifact. Over time, we learn that this is malicious, and then we'll actually go through all of that customer security data, looking for any sort of interactions with a malicious host, or from there we will pull on those threads and really make sure that we understand exactly what's going on in that environment. And then finally, it's, you know, communicating those outcomes as well. So, you know, it's driving that ongoing dialogue around security threats and attack trends, also informing security teams on the exactly what you were mentioning before, those, you know, those headline breaking news type of events. We want to inform our customers on their program as well. And then also we want to educate and provide information to our customers so they can inform their boards, their leadership peers, and also their employees of ongoing threat attacks as well.
You know, it's, I mean, everything you're saying, it's amazing. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the heck do you guys do that day in and day out? There's only 8 hours in the day where you guys are doing this. I mean, I'm sure you guys are doing stuff pretty much 24 hours a day, still going through stuff. I'm sure you don't stop at the end of the day thinking, oh my God, I still got thousands of things running through my head I got to make sure I take care of, and you don't ever stop. But you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, it truly is. And it's all part of our service, what you guys are doing. And, you know, I didn't even think about that too. When we onboard new components of our MDR service, you guys have to learn all those things too. That's hard. That's not just the SOC analyst learners. You guys have to do it too, because you're building those runbooks and detectors in the platform, right? Reverse engineering those threats you're seeing as you're pulling in all that other data in. That's more for you guys to do too. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, you know, most security programs, you know, they will focus heavily on preventing any sort of, you know, exploit or initial access. And then they rely on, you know, a small number of generic, like noisy post-compromise detectors in order to detect incidents. And this is exactly where the True team is really focused in terms of being able to detect and drive these incidents to the end. So the reality is most security teams don't have much experience dealing with post-compromised security incidents. They can't mobilize quickly enough to mount a defense against something like a zero-day attack either. You know, these organizations, they would have limited experience and any sort of visibility into a sophisticated or modern attack. They're not entirely sure how, what, or even where to look to detect like something like a zero-day. This is where True really comes in. We're different. You know, we have visibility into, you know, 1,500 client environments, 80 countries across some of the most, you know, targeted economic sectors. So that defense in depth strategy really allows us to inform our content library. And this allows us to focus on both the initial access pieces, as well as some of those post exploit TTPs in order to detect different stages of the attack. So, you know, the name of the game is not always being on the tip of the spear to be detecting, you know, modern sophisticated threats. This is where we employ that defense in depth strategy. And, you know, speaking to some of the, you know, some of the wins around the program as well, you know, getting into something like a zero day attack, you know, how we triage something like a zero day would depend on where that information comes from. So in the case of eSentire actually detecting a zero day attack, like we did with the Kaseya zero day back in 2018, from here, what we would do is we would actually trace that attacker activity, you know, from the post exploit activity where we have our detections focused back to the initial compromise in order to really understand that vector and gain a complete understanding of what's going on within that attack. You know, part of that would be performing those deep investigations, pivoting through all of these different technology tools, and then also pulling in any sort of data enrichments we have. So I mentioned earlier, some of the dark web monitoring pieces that we have. We also have rich asset and identity information that we can pull in to enrich our investigations as well. That really helps us to understand how this technology can work to deliver these outcomes. And then, you know, if we have actually detected the zero day, we'll work with the vendor to disclose the vulnerability in a responsible manner, to work with them on mitigations and public disclosure. But in parallel, we also start to begin to deploy and build our own security controls and tooling. And we start to kick off those aggressive threat hunts that you see to surface any sort of additional threat actor activity. And then from there, you know, all zero-day threats actually start to look the same. You know, we consume available information available to us either publicly or privately through some of our information channels. We use that information to tune and refine our detections in order to keep our efficacy, you know, as high as we possibly can. We keep that tempo and we keep that pace up until the vendor will make a patch available. A good example of this would actually be something like the Citrix NetScaler vulnerability. So this goes back to, this goes back to 2019 timeframe. This one was particularly bad, actually. So just going through the timeframe, this vulnerability was disclosed by Citrix, December 2019 timeframe. But they didn't actually make a patch available. And so this became sort of an open secret within the security community as exploits became available and attacks started to mount, to the point of there were a number of organizations that actually came out and started making statements. The US government came out and made a statement. Citrix actually came out and made a statement as well, 2 weeks prior to even making a patch available. So the way eCentire operationalized here is these aggressive threat hunts. And so we're actually using our asset information to hone in on specific threat actor activity on our customer Citrix NetScaler ADC assets. And we were performing really aggressive threat hunts. And we were actually finding, devices were being popped. And we were actually informing our customers within minutes of them getting attacked. And they were going back in and, re-imaging and resetting these things. That was the only attack we could actually mount at that time until Citrix made that patch available.
That is incredible. Let me ask you, though. So I remember that. I remember that happened in December, right around, Christmas. So two things. One thing is, are you going to see a lot more attacks now that the holidays are coming, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas. Does it pick up certain times of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're seeing is, threat actors like to lay dormant for a period of time until they can, time the deployment of something like a ransomware attack in order to cause maximum impact and maximum damage. So, typically what we see is ransomware attacks. The final stage of a ransomware attack will be deployed, on a Friday evening over the weekend. Also on holidays as well. So I would anticipate, more attacks to be coming, as we enter the 2022 holiday season. Definitely.
How do you get ready for that? I mean, you must be like, oh my God, everybody, we got to get ready. I mean, does it ever get like overwhelming, like scary? Like, like you said, a zero day, it's like nobody's ever seen it. So what do you do? How do you know? I mean, going to that one, 'cause say, I remember someone on your team saw something in social media. And then I understand you guys got ready for it. You didn't even know if it was real yet. You were just getting ready for it. So we would be prepared, And that's like, does it ever get scary? Like, oh God, here we go, boys and girls. This is not going to be fun. Right?
Yeah. That's actually a question I've never really, really thought too much towards. I don't actually get too scared towards something like a security outcome. Our team is well-versed and highly experienced in these avenues. So I want to take you through, the team's recent work on unmasking the identities of the authors behind VenomSpider, which is a pretty notorious family of malware. So for more than 20 months, True has been tracking movements and capabilities of a suite of malware called Golden Chickens. My goodness, who names these things? Yeah, they're brutal, aren't they? So Golden Chickens is a toolkit of choice amongst three of the top most longstanding top money making cybercrime groups available online. And today it's actually operating as a malware as a service type of business model. If we look at these the three top money generating crime groups here, they've actually been attributed to more than $1.5 billion in cybercrime over the past 3 years alone. It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah. So, my goodness. So beginning in 2021, April 2021 timeframe, during the height of the Great Resignation, actually. So if you think back to the Great Resignation, True identified a highly successful attack campaign that was actually taking place on LinkedIn. This is where attackers, they were actually going after, corporate employees, trying to lure them with fake lucrative job offers. The reality is the documents, were laden with malware, and the malware samples were traced back to this Golden Chickens malware as a service offering. So we began to track this campaign with the objective to measure our defenses and identify any new TTPs that we could identify, being utilized by this threat actor group. And so in early 2022, we actually identified a change in behavior as well. And this is the difference here is initially what we saw is employees were actually being targeted with new job offers. But in 2022, we actually saw the campaign flip a little bit. And what we saw is hiring managers were now being being targeted as part of this campaign. So when they were getting, you know, fake job applications and fake resumes with the same, malware, bootstrapped office documents and things like that as well. Yeah, pretty wild. You know, in the process of this work, though, we started to track the authors behind the Golden Chickens malware. And we actually identified the real identity of one of the authors of this malware. So we have the author's real name. We have photographs of their house and their car. We have their home address. We have the names of their parents and their siblings, their hobbies, and the name of one of their unrelated businesses as well. And so, you know, as part of the, you know, ongoing development, and as we continue to pull on these threads, we take every bit of information we can, we pull on that, and we use that to try and, you know, build new security defenses. And that's exactly what we've done. So that's allowed us to monitor the ongoing developments in the Golden Chickens malware to identify any new campaigns that we're seeing, as well as any new TTPs that this threat actor is going to employ before they impact our customers. And we're actually also working with, you know, law enforcement agencies to help write this final chapter on the Golden Chickens malware family. So I think we're going to see an end to this family of malware very soon. And we've also made this information available in our recent Unmasking Venom Spider report. We believe publishing this information will help identify more victims, bring them forward, and then also, improve security outcomes to organizations throughout the world.
I was just going to say, we are, trying to make the world a better place every single day with you guys. I know it sounds kind of strange, you're like, oh, yeah, but it's true. We're trying to make the world a better place. And I was telling the customer just yesterday who was on the phone with a partner. And I said, threat actors have to be, they only have to be right one time. They'll sit there forever to try and find that hole in your environment. And once they're in, that's it. We have to be right every single time we're doing investigations. We're doing, reverse engineering stuff, watching what's happening. We have to be right every time. We can't be wrong, right? Period. We are defenders. We're defending our clients every day. And that's what we do. And it's incredible. I have to tell you, there's so many questions I can ask and go through, but it's like, I always want to let our customers know what you guys do and let them truly understand that this is our passion and why you guys are doing it day in and out. And there's no charge for this. We don't charge customers for all you guys, what you guys and gals are doing every day, your whole team, all those things you're doing. You're making the world a better place. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And I am, our service, our MDR service is just a little piece of everything that we do. And, I always want to paint that picture to our customers, because I'm saying to these guys, when I talk to them, you guys have no idea what you're getting. I mean, seriously, it's incredible. Right. So
you're absolutely right. And thank you very much for that, John. And, to round things out here, we talk a lot about, achieving the scaling effect of security. So this is exactly what we believe at sort of the macro level. So we believe, taking one of our customers and looking at the visibility that were afforded in that particular environment, and then using that information and applying it to secure our adjacent customer environments is the key to success here. But we also believe that we can achieve that same network scaling effect to organizations that aren't necessarily part of that eSentire umbrella by being part of the security community, by making our information available, by publishing reports and really, putting out world-leading security information and intelligence.
Yeah, hands down, Rob. And, thank you again for joining today and going through this stuff. I know sometimes you probably talk, all day long to, people and saying what you're doing, but for taking the time to really, I want our partners and customers, everyone to know what you guys do. And I'd love to have you back on. I would love to talk to more of your true team members. If they would love to be part of the show one time, that'd be awesome. And really, Rob, thank you again for joining today, for spending the time with us and really painting the picture of what you guys do, because there's not enough said for what you guys do. So thank you for that, Rob, really. And thank your team.
Thank you very much, John. And, you know, thank you for giving us the spotlight, for giving us a chance to really, you know, express what we do on an ongoing basis. I would absolutely love to have some members back, you know, from the True team onto the podcast, and we can go through, really tell some great stories. And you know, some of those stories from the trenches are some of the favorites that the team likes to tell. So I'd love to have the team back on in the future.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. That would be awesome. Rob, thank you again, and we will see you soon. This is John Murray from Cyber Talks. Thank you very much. Rob, we'll see you soon, my man. Thank you. To learn how Eastentire can help your team build a more responsive security operation, visit eastentire.com.